risen, hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies. I risen, hallelujah, louder than the unbelief. I risen, hallelujah, my weapon is
stand. We're going to give God glory this morning as we open up our service. We always do. We'll just let Him just be strengthened and guided. Guide each and every one of us in our services today. We just want to just worship Him, and we're just going to go right to prayer. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show with the raising of your hand. But if you have a praise report, just lift up that other hand and let's just praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning, dear Lord. We just want to praise You. Want to worship You this morning. We thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, for Your touch, for Your mercy and Your grace. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, dear Lord, as we prepare for our service, dear Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. You're always there with us. Lord, we always know, Lord, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are the great I am, dear Lord, that you're the comforter. And Lord, we just send us that comforter, Lord, of the Holy Ghost to guide and direct us. Lord, again, as we gather together in your name this morning, Lord, we just want to honor you. The Lord, now we ask, if you see the hands that were raised, Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord. You know the needs. You hear the cries, dear Lord. You know those that are, whatever's being sought and whatever's being done, dear Lord. We just ask you to touch each and every one. Your healing, Lord, for recovery from procedures, dear Lord. For those that are waiting on results of tests, dear Lord, we're placing them in your hands. Lord, for those that need a touch of healing or peace, dear Lord, we're asking you to guide and direct. Lord, again, we just honor and we praise you, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, just praise his name. While you're standing, turn in your hymnal to page 130. I never shall forget the day. Another reason just to praise the Lord this morning. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, for your love. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Just want to worship the Lord. We just want to give Him all the glory, all the glory. We're going to get ready and take up our morning offering as we get ready. We've got a couple of announcements. Don't forget, ladies, we're having a baby shower September 12th at 2 p.m. over in the Curtis Center, and it's for Sister Sierra Agan, it'll be that. It's just a wonderful time, just Lord, just to bless and just to continue with that. And just know, let her know and her family how much we love and appreciate them. Yes, ma'am. Okay. If y'all could hear Sister Linda, she wants to have a meeting with the ladies of the church this morning if she gets a chance. All right, praise the Lord. And also, don't forget, mentioned it last, mostly on the Wednesday, we have a mission on Sunday mornings. It's on our announcements. I know they're not going around on the screen in the mornings, but the Samaritan's Purse is that time of year. We have the Operation Christmas Child, you know, the shoe boxes we do each year. We thank you for your love that you show. It is that time of year again. Those that have asked Miss Elaine and to do it, to make sure that we get the announcement out earlier to give people time to pick up the stuff you need. Elaine has the list of the items. And also, this year, what it was like last year, it's $9 a box to ship. So if you'd like to make a monetary offering to it, we'd appreciate that. Just mark it on your tithe envelope. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful things going on in the church this morning. Overcomers Outreach. I'm hearing so much positive stuff. And ladies ministry and all that goes forth. Praise the Lord. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering this morning, please?
Our loving Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord. We're just so thankful for this time to come and worship you, Lord.
Yes.
Father, don't let us ever forget the day that you set us for you, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you bless this offering, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Sing this song. I got the sinus bug this morning, but please read the words. You know, without the blood, where would any of us be? So please sing along, read the words, and worship with us. There is a blood, oh, and it cost a life. It paid my way, oh, death is its price. And when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone. Yes, they were. My sins forgot. Oh, there is a grave. Oh, it tried to hide this precious blood. Oh, that gave me life. But in 3 days,
he tried.
Yeah! Tell you that he tried every tear. I'll just keep wishing in the Lord. We're gonna, our kids are gonna help us with a song. name of Jesus.
At the name of Jesus, every knee
is going to bow.
Every tongue confess.
In the name of Jesus.
Gonna break the chain.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
In the name of Jesus, can you say amen?
Amen.
To break every chain. Amen. Give the children's church a hand. I think they've done a really, really good job this morning. Praise God. How many remembers what it's like to have those chains broken? Come on. Hallelujah. They had us bound too long, didn't they? We tried to break them ourselves, didn't we? We tried to do everything within our measure to be able to do it, but we couldn't do it. But how many knows? One trip to the altar and the blood of Jesus Christ was able to break the chains, amen, that had us bound. My. Everybody ought to give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah for what He's done in our life. Glory to God. We lift You up, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, for Your grace. Amen. And for Your redeeming power. Good to have you with us this morning. Let our visitors know how much we love them. How glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. And if you have your word with you this morning, go with us to the Gospel of St. John in the 8th chapter. The Gospel of St. John, chapter number 8. I want to leave with you this morning, verse number 12. St. John, chapter 8. Verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come at this hour to love You and to thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your abounding love, for those who have gathered here today this morning. Father, I pray that we lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us. Father, that we would have our mind totally upon You, that we might be in one mind and one accord, receptive to, God, what You would have us to hear this morning. God, I'm asking that You bless and anoint these lips of clay. God, this vessel, this body this morning, God, that You might get honor, that You might get glory. And God, that we might be edified by and strengthened by Your word. We do remember those who are sick, and many are suffering this morning, God, and we pray that Your healing power, that virtue, God, would go into their bodies and touch and heal them this morning. And God, I pray right now, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who have not made that commitment, have not come to You and accepted You as Lord and Savior, I pray that this would be the day, God, that they open up their heart's door. We ask You now for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a song that says, I like to feel like I feel when I'm feeling like I feel right now. I'm not going to sing it. In fact, I don't even know if I can say that again, but I just like to feel what I'm feeling. Amen. I love feeling the presence of Almighty God. I am addicted to it. Can you say amen? Said, I can't go a day without it. Sometimes I can't go an hour without it. But how many knows He'll never leave us nor forsake us? He's always there with us. I appreciate Him so very much, and I am dependent on Him. This morning, if you'll bear with us for just a little while, I want to bring a message entitled, The Light of Life. The words of Jesus Himself. The Light of Life. Let me just share with you this morning what the light will do. It will illuminate the darkness in your soul. It will. Man, it's going to shine. The light will show mercy. Can I get a witness? Amen. I'm so thankful for the mercy of my Lord and Savior. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I could not buy it. I could not be born into it with the best family in the world. It took the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. It took the mercy of my Lord and Savior. Amen. To illuminate the sin that was in my life and for me to come with a repentive and broken and contrite spirit at an altar of repentance to ask Jesus to be both Lord and Savior of my life. The light, according to Jesus, was not intended to condemn, but to forgive. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, put your hands together for Jesus. It's not His will that any should perish, not to condemn us, but to forgive us and to save us, according to His words. And also, and finally, and not necessarily the least of these, but the light teaches and instructs. How many knows we're still ever learning? Man, still having to be taught by the mercies of God and by His Word. This is the timing of this verse is just after the woman is accused of adultery. We find that at the beginning of the day, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Olives and He begins to pray. Can I encourage you, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. The best way to start your day off is in word of prayer unto the Lord. Amen. You may not go to the Mount of Olives, but you can go down by the side of your bed, or you can do it as you're walking out the house in the morning. But I would encourage you, the first thing that you do every morning, to get in touch with the Lord and ask Him to bless you and anoint you and lead and guide you. Not only lead and guide you, but protect you in today's environment. Amen. We find that Jesus came down and began to talk and teach some of the people that were gathered there. And the Pharisees showed up. Can I have to remind anybody today that the Pharisees have shown up? They're out there, brother. They're out there watching you and looking at you and seeing what they can find fault with. And we've talked about it time in and time again, how that those naysayers are all out there, and they're wanting you to trip up, and they're wanting you to fall by the wayside, and they're just out, amen, to see how much controversy and turmoil that they can stir up. And the Pharisees showed up with this woman that was, according to the Bible, was caught in the very act of adultery. They present her to Jesus. Man, oh that we would quit trying to take things into our own hands and present those things to Jesus. You got aught with your brother, present him to Jesus. Amen. You got trouble in the office where you work, present it to Jesus. You got family squabbles, present it to Jesus. Amen. You got individual demons that are coming against you, present it to Jesus. Amen. And quit trying to work it out yourself. Quit trying to tell everybody on Facebook about it and tell Jesus about it. Amen. Because Jesus is the one that can come in and fix whatever's wrong in your life. They wasn't looking for mercy for the woman. They wasn't looking for help. They wasn't looking for a transformation in her life. They were looking to accuse Jesus of the Scriptures and see what He would have to say. But I believe that the light exposed not only the woman's sin, but it also exposed the not-so-spotless lives of the accusers. Today's society is so quick to accuse. Experiencing, of all things, spiritual amnesia in their own minds. Forgetting where God brought them from. Forgetting how merciful God was to them when they were lost and undone. Only to become judgmental. Only to become condemners of those that need prayer and need lifting up. And this was the case of the Pharisees. But notice what Jesus did. Amen. We need to quit looking at what other folks do and look what Jesus did. We need to quit trying to find help through other people and find that help and comfort and encouragement through the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right there in red for us to read and to understand. Jesus simply stooped down and began to write in the dirt. Very unusual response. One today that would probably be criticized. Can you imagine the news media getting a hold of that? They came to Jesus with a legitimate situation, and he just begins to play in the dirt. One thing I found out, Jesus doesn't do anything without a motive and a plan and a solution. Aren't you glad that Jesus not only has a plan for your life, but a solution as well? He simply didn't get into an argument with them. He simply didn't just denounce what they were doing. In fact, he was there not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. Amen. They brought up the Mosaic law. What would you do, Jesus? What would you say? Let me tell you something. If you're wearing one of those bands, you have just put a great responsibility on your life. It's all right. But you got to understand, if I'm wearing that band and say, what would Jesus do? If I'm going to do what Jesus did, amen, I'm going to forgive folks. I'm going to be giving second chances. I'm going to be reaching out to folks. I'm going to be putting the kingdom of the Lord way before my wants and desires in this life. But what would you say? And as Jesus wrote, basically, they ask him again. Jesus simply said, he lifted up himself and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Can I tell you what I saw that? And Jesus goes on to tell, and these are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Not I will be. Not I was, but I am the light of the world. How many knows he's still the light of the world today? Now it's up to us if we're going to live in that light and operate in that light or simply ignore the light as many people are today. But he also goes on to say that thou that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, somebody ought to shout, but shall have the light of life. And all of a sudden, as Jesus is writing, and many scholars have tried to devise or perceive or try to come up with what was written, I don't know. But something happened when the light of Jesus illuminated the lives of those elders and those accusers that stood around this woman who needed mercy but was getting ridiculed. Who needed mercy and forgiveness, but was really seeking, or people around her were seeking to put her to death. Can I tell you, that person that is out in sin don't need you to kill them. Come on. They're low enough as it is. They don't need you to pronounce judgment upon them. If you do, you're not qualified. Nor am I. Amen. Jesus called us, amen, to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them that are lost. I think many times the church has lost focus of what we're about. We're about winning souls for the kingdom of God. Amen. Let God clean them up. Let God straighten them up. That's not my job. My job is to go out and find that lost sheep. Find that person who is struggling. That one that the world has given up on. That one that the family has disowned, and find them and bring them into the ark of safety and introduce them to Jesus Christ, the light of the world and the light of life. But when that light turned on, it began to illuminate those things that were harbored into the soul of the accusers. Many years ago, when my dad owned a grocery store, and there was an agriculture man, that's what we called him. He came around, he had his little case, and he would check the scales with his little weights to make sure that they were right. How many are thankful for scales that are right? You look, that can't be right. Maybe you need the agriculture man. Come around, set those things back about 10 pounds where you'll feel better. But if you were going to sell merchandise, it had to be weighed. You had to have those
accurate. So he would come around and he would check those. And other things he would do, he'd go around the shelf and he would check the dates on certain things, especially items that are perishable and even canned items. How many know that canned items don't actually last forever? So he would do that. And one of his jobs that I remember so vividly and so well, and I've even mentioned this in several of my messages because it is, it just really, really drives home the point. How many knows that sometimes people like me really, really need God to just kind of pound me over the head with it?
Yeah.
I'm a second reader. First time, sometimes I don't get it. I have to go back and read it again. But this really, really has been impressed in my mind and in my spirit for years and years and years. He would go to the egg carton display where the eggs were, and he would periodically fix, peel out 4, 5, 6 dozen of eggs, and he would bring them back to the darkest place of the stock room. And he had a little wooden box. Technology. This is years ago. Had a little wooden box, and inside this wooden box was a light bulb, and he would plug this thing in, this device in, and this light bulb would shine, and there was a hole in that little box, and the light would kind of come out of that hole. And what he would do, the hole was about the size just to put an egg up there.
Yeah.
Ooh. Lord, I need to say that or not. Some of us eggs hadn't looked at that light lately. Because the egg looks pretty good in the dark. An egg looks pretty good when it's with the other 11 in a dozen. How many do this? Still open up the crate of egg, the carton of eggs before you buy them? What are you looking for? What do you do with it? You put it back. There's 11 good eggs in that, but you judged it because of that one crack. I do the same thing. But here, he was not looking for cracks. He was looking for something that the naked eye could not see. It took the light of the little wooden box with the bulb in it, and when he placed that egg up there, if you could see that thing just as clear as everything, and if there was one little spot in it, it was discarded. Didn't know it until the light hit it. Come on. Thought we were good till the light hit it. Thought we fit in till the light hit it. Looked just like everybody else till the light hit it. Come on, amen. The light of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is that light. And let me tell you something. I want Him to still shine in my life. And if there's anything, I don't care if it's a little speck. I don't care if it's just a little thing. I want it purged. I want it forgiven. I want it out of my life. I want to be what God would have me to be. I don't want to go through this life thinking that I'm okay when I'm full of these things that are going to tear my relationship down. So they were discarded. And I believe with all of my life, with all my heart, as I read that, and listen, the lady, the woman who was brought, she didn't claim to be anything else but a sinner. Those accusers, they were all high and mighty. But I believe when that light shone forth, they began to see things they hadn't seen in years. They began to realize that who am I to be judgmental? Amen. Because the light of life is illuminating those situations, those angers, those hatred, that bitterness, that little sin that nobody else knows about. That little iniquity that we have kept hidden for so long. Oh, Lord, please. You know, my Granny Allen, bless her heart, she was a prayer warrior. Many, many years ago when I was just a little tot, and I loved to go spend the night with Granny, and it was just like walking back in time. There was no television set. There were no games. There was a radio that had a knob on it that was about that big, and she'd tune that thing in, and she'd find Cincinnati, Ohio, Mall singing convention. Many, many nights I went to sleep after listening to the Chuck Wagon Gang and the Spear Family. Not the ones now, that other generation. But thank God for that. Amen. Thank God that the upbringing was there. But I'm so thankful, amen, that she had the ability to, when we went to bed, she knelt down by the bed and we're going to pray. And it wasn't a little quick prayer. She prayed for everybody. She prayed for everything. And finally, when at the very end of her prayer, I'll never forget it, she said, "And Father, if I have done or said anything unbeknownst to me that you're displeased with, forgive me now." Because she would not lay her bed on her head on that pillow and climb in that bed until she made sure that everything was right between her and the Lord. Oh, what an example that is for us today. What an example that is to leave to our children and that next generation that's coming up. I don't want anything here to hinder me. How about you? And the light of life illuminates that. Seven times we read in the book of the Gospel of St. John that Jesus himself refers to "I am" when he's fixing to introduce a phrase or when he's saying a phrase. I am. Does that not sound familiar? How many knows that he came in his Father's name? How many knows that the anointing was upon him? How many knows that his birth was announced by the prophet Isaiah? Amen. Ever before John ever wrote the first letter, amen, the life of Jesus Christ, amen, was already prophesied, glory to God, to be the sacrificial lamb. How many knows and still realizes that there was only one that could be the redeemer of our salvation? There was only one that did not have blood of guilt in his life. There was only one that had no deceit, no guile in his mouth. There was only one sacrificial lamb who was perfect enough, and he's standing here today with this group of Pharisees and saying, "How dare you judge this woman when there's something in your life itself you need to get right? Amen. We're going to pray for her. We're going to forgive her." But there was the time not to accuse, but to lift up, to encourage, to bring into the fold of Christ. I am the light of life. The light of life. We use that term today. I've heard it many times. That special child, that special grandchild. Let's get to the younger generation. That soulmate that you just met. He is the light of my life. Only to find out a couple of years down the road somebody done turned the light off. This just a little pastoral advice. Marry you a saved person filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody who is committed to Christ. Amen. That goes for men and women. Amen. That goes for young folks. And if you're looking, amen, glory. And people say, "Well, you can't find one." Oh, but when you do. If you're proud of your spouse, reach over and grab their hand right now and let them know how much you love them. Amen. How glad that God brought you together. Amen. The light of life. The light of life won't go out. The light of life will never dim. The light of life will always be there through the darkest of times, through the most terrible troubles you'll ever have in your life. In the midst of the fiery furnace, that light is still shining bright. When you enter the darkest tunnel you've ever been in your life, that light is still illuminating. When you've lost a loved one, when you've lost your job, when you lost your last dollar, when the doctor says, "There's nothing else I can do," that light is still glowing. That light is still that permanent light of your life. Oh, if you love Him, put your hands together for Jesus. Glory to God. And when you have the light of life, Jesus said, "You shall not walk in darkness." Glory to God. There may be darkness all around you, but you don't have to get in it. Come on. Somebody need to hear that. Everywhere I look, there's darkness. You're looking at the wrong thing. Glory to God. I know there's evil. I know there's turbulence. I know there's disturbance. I know there's hatred. I know there's bitterness. I know there's rioting. I know all of these things around. But Father, help me to look to the light. Help me to look to my Lord. Help me to look to my Savior. Glory to God. Because I don't need to be deferred to the left or to the right. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. Glory to God. Because He is the light of my life. That light never dims. Then we get this question. Why is there such darkness in the world today? Why is there such darkness? Not why is there such a great light, but why is there such darkness? I perceive that we have been affected too long by bad news, by horrible news. So many times we think the majority is that way. But there's not. There is a remnant. And in our little finite minds, we think that remnant is just me and my four no more. But what did the song say? There's an army. Glory to God. There's folks that you and I don't even know that are holding true to God. Hallelujah. Glory. You got to get away from this mindset that the only saved folks are in this congregation this morning. Amen. There's saved folks all over this world. There's praying folks all over this world. We call them the silent majority. You know, we're not the silent majority. Just because we're not voicing our opinion doesn't mean we're not voicing our prayers. Glory to God. I'm praying every day. I'm praying every night. God, come on the scene. Fix this. Fix that. God, help me to focus on You and not the trouble in this world. But in one way I would agree. It's darker now than it was in certain periods of my life, maybe our life. I can say this because I was alive and well. Well, I was alive anyway. You know, when you're young, you say, I'm alive and well. When you're old, I'm just alive. I'm just glad to be alive. I don't care if I'm well or not. I'm just happy I'm breathing. But during the turbulent time of the 60s, those of you that are too young or too vain to admit it, there was an anti-establishment movement. It wasn't cool to be for anything. The cooler you were was the more things you could be against. And the more writings you could write on your military coat that you didn't get in armed services, you got that at the Goodwill store. Come on, some of y'all looking at me like, huh, he was there. Wore them little green army things and have stuff written off peace. I do not want to get political, but I got to say this. How dare us write peace on a shirt, amen, and condemn what our military has done over the years of fighting for to keep us free, to keep us alive, and to keep us safe. And that's not going to cost you anything, I'm just saying. But during the time, the anti-establishment. And what did we do? We recognized it. We sort of said, you know, that's awful. But can I tell you? Things got a little darker. I don't have one in my house, nor do I really want one. But it's a dimmer switch that you can turn down gradually. I'm kind of on and off a man myself. That's right, bro. It's either light or dark. Ain't got no hook. But they're there. I don't know. Maybe it's for the candlelight dinner, the romantic tones. Like I said, light switch is fine for me, on and off. Amen. But the world got a little darker. Because
certain people just, that's the norm. And they accepted it. Let me tell you something. When you accept something that Satan does, he gets a little stronger and a little more bolder. Then came the attack and removal of prayer. Man. Listen, I don't know. I can't attribute it to this. But the first 2 or 3 years of my schooling, I was pretty slick. They took that prayer out and it was a struggle. I don't know if that got anything to do with it or not. But every grade I went got harder and harder and harder. But I remember us having prayer. I remember us saying Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I remember doing those things. But let me tell you something. When that attack on prayer, not just in schools, but in public places and all of those things, got a little darker. Not completely dark, but just a little darker. Just a little darker. Then we find that they were emboldened and they try, not only try, but to succeed in eliminating the Ten Commandments in public places. I got news for them. They can never eradicate the Ten Commandments from my heart. They can never tear them down. They're in the Word. Amen. I would prefer them be in public places. I would prefer them being in our schools. But just because they took them down don't mean they're not done away with. They're still alive and well, as is the Word of God. And you said, Brother Eddie, that's just the Ten Commandments. That doesn't satisfy them. Wait till they come after your Bibles. Oh, that'll never happen. Right up on the tables of your heart. Hallelujah. Some of us would be completely lost if the Word, the written Word, was gone because we haven't took time to digest it into our spirit, to write it on the tables of our heart. Little did we realize that things would even get somewhat darker, but lo and behold, there began to be an all-out attack on the sanctity of marriage and family. Things that we've held near and dear in our life, generation after generation after generation, somehow has told us that we don't know what we're talking about. And you know what they've done. They've distorted the sanctity of marriage in our life, in the family units. What happened? It got a little darker. Not Jesus. Not the light of life, but the world around it. Can I tell you today, there's an open and bold worship of Satan and demons. Alive and well, not in foreign countries alone, but here in the United States, not only in other cities and other metropolises, but even right here in our own communities, in our neighborhoods, Satan has become so bold, amen, that he thinks it's all right to do whatever he wants to do, and it's getting a little darker around us. So much so. Have you ever seen something that just made chills run up and down your spine? Man, something that was just so outrageous, so fearful, so cold. You know, my granddaddy always told me, you know, when you're talking about identifying evil spirits, and let me tell you something, there are evil spirits present in this world. Not every spirit that claims it's a spirit is from the Lord. That's the reason we need discernment. That was the reason we need the Holy Spirit within us to discern those evil spirits. But even with the Spirit of God within us, when we see or experience things like that, there is a coldness that goes over us. You can testify to this, and there were two other brothers. We were called to a home many, many years ago to pray and to anoint a room where a teenage girl was, that was her bedroom. She was living with her grandparents, and her grandparents had asked us to come over and anoint that room. Can I tell you that the four brothers that went in, myself and three others, when we went into that room, there was a coldness that wasn't attributed to the air conditioner. There was, even though the light was shining, there was spiritual darkness in that room. It was you could feel it. There was, first of all, what we noticed, there was all kind of graffiti, demonic signs written all over the walls. Man, that's the first thing I would have done, would have stripped that wall and repainted it. But we let these things slip and slide. Oh, it's not going to hurt anything. She's just being a teenager. She don't really mean that stuff. Let me tell you something. You do not mess around with that stuff. We could feel it. We could feel it. We had the bottle of anointing oil, which in and of itself is not going to do anything. It's the faith that goes into that anointing. And we began to anoint that wall. We began to pray. You know, the devil didn't like it. He had all four of us hacking and coughing at the same time. I'm a witness to it. We could hardly get the words of "in the name of Jesus" because there was such a congestion. He was trying to choke us. But you know what? We didn't run. Because we didn't come against Him. We didn't come against Him in our power. We didn't come against Him because I'm a pastor and some of the elders. We didn't come against them to get patted on the back. We came against Him in the name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name that no demon, no devil can stand against. The name of Jesus. And we declared it. We anointed those walls. We prayed for that child. We prayed that God's hand of protection would be on that family. That was several years ago. Can I tell you this week? I'm not going to tell you where I saw it. Just take my word that I saw it. And I don't believe it was doctored. There was a young woman. I was going to say young lady, young girl, but she looked probably 20-something. I think they said she was even a singer or celebrity or something. And she had her picture made. And she had taken 666 and placed it on her forehead, along with the other things that were on her body. But that stood out. Glory to God. Why? Because the light of the Lord that is within me said, that is not right. That is an abomination. Whether the 666 is an actual 666, she meant it to be demonic. She meant it to be anti-Christian. She meant to come against the Word of God. And for that very fact, there's darkness around. And now that darkness is beginning to try to force its way into the light of the Lord. But let me tell you one thing. I know this from experience. A room can be completely devoid of any light whatsoever, and one little spark will illuminate the darkness that is there. I'm praying for a Holy Ghost spark. I'm praying for a Holy Ghost revival. I'm praying that the light of life will shine into this dark world, into the dark corners, and illuminate what Satan is trying to do today. Hallelujah. And we will win. I said we will win. Because of Him, not because of us. Because nothing can stand against the mighty power of God. The light of life. Do you have it? You need it. You need the illuminating power of the Spirit of God within your life. I told you what that light can do to a complete dark room. Use the analysis of what that light can do to a complete dark soul. A dark soul that you've piled up problems and issues and sin in your life, and it's gotten to be a point where you just seem like you're walking in total darkness. Everything's a fog. Nothing makes sense anymore. Listen, the only thing that makes sense to me in today's society is the Word of God. Amen. It hasn't changed, by the way. There's a reason. I want to share this with you before I close. There's a reason that Jesus used the phrase, I am. In the 18th verse, after a long and arduous debate with the Pharisees and how they were trying to trip him up, in verse number 18, he said, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. What does he mean? What does he mean? In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, in him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Can I tell you? The darkness cannot comprehend that there is a mightier power. There is a higher power. There is a power that's going to be overcomers. Amen. It's going to be more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. We are more than conquerors. We are winners through Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the light of life. And if you're feeling lifeless, then you need the light of the Spirit of God. Would you stand to your feet, please? Please, everyone, reverence the Spirit of God that is within this sanctuary. Would you bow your heads? Would you open up your heart's door? Listen, this altar is open. But sometimes there's some resistance to coming to the altar. Can I tell you, you can open up your heart's door right where you are. Because Jesus is not just here at this altar. His Spirit is within all these four walls. But you have to be serious. You have to be direct. And you have to realize that maybe there is some darkness in your life. And you can confess to the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of this darkness. I'm tired of this struggle. I'm tired of all of these things in my life, God, that constantly bombards me and attacks my mind and attacks my spirit. God, I want you to purge me. David, known as a man after God's own heart, asked the Lord, God, create within me a right spirit. Purge me. If there's anything in my life, God, that does not please you to you, purge it out and create a right spirit within me. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're here standing today and you've never asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you don't need to leave this place today until you ask Jesus to come into your life, until you repent of your life. Is there one that would come? This altar is open. I will assure you, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to condemn you. We're only here to lift you up and to point you to Jesus Christ. While every head is still bowed, every eye closed, if you have a prayer request, just lift your hand up and let this pastor see, and I'll be praying with you this week, and I'll be praying for that. I want you to know that God loves you, and I love you, and I want to see each and every one of you in that glorious kingdom that Jesus Himself has prepared. May God bless you. Have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name.
Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful message from our Lord. This morning we do love each and every one of you, whether you're here live with us or you're watching on our feed. Whether it be this morning or at a later time, know how much God loves you. So much that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. Praise the Lord. There's no denial. There's no running from it. It's just releasing ourselves to them. If there's anyone that does need prayer, and you're, as Brother Eddie said, if you're a little reluctant about the second and you'd like to come up after we close service too, we will be here. Come on up, brother.